we're going to make a recording in a minute concerning some information and history of our family in Harlem. We're gathered at my dad, mother, and I at the cottage on Kentucky Lake on this, the 21st day of March, 1965. And Dan, I'd like first to discuss the family tree, so to speak, of the Turners. I believe that's what you have before you, isn't it?
That's correct.
So you just tell me in your own words, the best you can, what you know about our forefathers, so forth.
This is John Arne Gregory, Sr. It's kind of hard to give a very accurate history of the family, being at Kentucky Lake, and the information I might have available would be in Harlan County, Kentucky. William Turner came into Harlan County late in the 18th century. William Turner and his wife, Miss, I believe her name was Elizabeth Britton, had one child, George Britton Turner, my grandfather. William Turner married the second time and had several children by the second wife. The first son was William Turner, Charles Turner, David Yancey Turner, and daughters Susan, Ludie, and Jody. George B. Turner, my grandfather, married Margaret Crump. They had the following children. Nancy married Mose W. Howard. William Turner never married. George B. Turner, Jr., never married. Louise Jones married Milt Jones. Robert Turner never married. Green Turner, natural death at 12 years of age. John Turner never married. Eliza Turner, or Rella Turner, my mother, married Walter Zink Gregory. Sudie Turner married Hiram J. Howard. Now, to my best recollection here, I believe that's the entire family of George B. Turner and his wife, Margaret Crump Turner.
When did George B. Turner, or actually his father was William Turner, wasn't it?
That's correct.
When did he first come to Harlan County?
Well, I would say in the 1780s.
What purpose did he come to Harlan County, if you know?
I have no idea, other than to settle and acquire land.
Did he, was he married when he came to Harlan, or
no,
did
he married after he came? He married after he came into the Britton family.
And do you know where he lived in Harlan County?
Yes, he settled there in what is known now as Clover Street in Harlan County, in the city of Harlan.
And where did your grandfather, George Turner, live in Harlan, if you know?
He lived on Clover Street.
Well, did William live on Clover Street?
William lived on Clover Street in one location, and then George B. Turner, his son, established a home very close by in the same town.
Were they large landowners in Harlan?
William Turner acquired 39,000 acres of Harlan County land, including the city of Harlan, and extended, we'll say, from the beginning of the Cumberland River at Baxter up Clover Fork, at a distance of about 8 or 10 miles, and all that mountain range and valleys, on the mountains on both sides and the valley in between.
Was his occupation primarily a landholder, or what did he do?
Well, he was a slave owner. He owned at one time, I understand, 60 slaves. At the time they were free during the Civil War, I believe he had 60 slaves. He was using those slaves, of course, in farming, raising cattle, hogs, turkeys, sheep, and taking them to the market.
What was his age when he died?
I just can't give you that information. All right.
Now, George Turner, your grandfather, what was his occupation primarily?
He followed the same occupation that his father did. He acquired the land that he and his brother was managing the properties and the land and the all properties after the death of their father. And he was also an attorney. He served in the Kentucky legislature at one time, at the same time that Governor McCreary served in the legislature. They were very close friends. And he was an attorney there in Harlem, and he was a great writer. He did an awful lot for the public there in serving them, and when they would get in trouble, he would write letters to the governor and the other authorities in their behalf. And he practiced law, and he served as county judge at one time. And Governor McCreary appointed him as the county judge when another elected judge under contest was disqualified of serving in the office. My grandfather was appointed by Governor McCreary. He also served as the first mayor of the city of Harlem.
Was he a... Was he a clerk? I've heard you speak of seeing his writing in the books at the courthouse.
No, I believe you're speaking now of my grandfather Crump, of George C. Crump. He was a First Circuit clerk in Harlan County. That's...
Okay, tell me who Crump was.
I just can't give you the history of the Crump family so much, but John Crump was living in Harlan County and had a family there, and my grandfather married my grandmother there, Margaret Crump,
the daughter of
John Crump.
All right.
Now, John Crump was the First Circuit Clerk of Harlan County, and I believe he served as county clerk, and his handwriting is there in the clerk's office now, and it's a beautiful handwriting. I'd like for you to see it sometime.
Where was George Turner educated? You know, he was an attorney. Did he have any formal education that you know of?
I'm not sure that. I need more information on that myself. But I believe that he went to school in Virginia and possibly in Tennessee, but I just don't know where. Now, there's a college at one time in Lee County, Virginia. And I believe he went to school at that college or something.
I believe before we go any further with the Turner side of the family, I would like for you to tell me what you've been told by your father about the Gregory side of the family. When my great-grandfather came from New York and so forth, what their names were, to the best of your knowledge.
Your great-great-grandfather was a farmer in New York State.
Do you know his name?
No, sir, I do not. Right. Somewhere near Buffalo. His son, my grandfather and your great-grandfather left home when he was about 14 years old, and I don't know where he got his education, but he was a very good violinist.
Do you know his name?
That's Robert Walson, Gregory.
Walson,
W-A-S-O-N.
All right.
Walson. He migrated down into Virginia, and before the Civil War, he married into the Denton family. Eliza Denton is my grandmother's name and my father's mother. And to this union, there were born Alva Gregory, Alonzo Gregory, Norman Gregory, Walter Gregory, and Grandma Gregory.
Where did they settle?
Just here and there and anywhere. They first settled in Washington County, Virginia. And that's where the Denton family lived and were established, a big family of Dentons. And then they left there and came into Lee County, Virginia, and over into Harlan County, Kentucky.
Who is they you're speaking of?
My grandfather and my grandmother.
And their family?
Robert Walton Gregory and his wife, yeah, and the family.
In other words, your grandfather, Robert Gregory, and your father moved to Harlan County together?
When they were little children, when the boys were little fellows, they moved into Harlan County, and the mother died in Harlan County.
Do you remember about when they moved to Harlan County?
Well, I remember my father saying that he was just a little boy. I guess 18 and 70, 72.
What was your grandfather's occupation?
He was a carpenter.
And
wood worker.
Did most of the family settle in Harlan County, or did most of them leave?
Most of the boys settled in Lee County, Virginia. My father and his father went into Knox County, Kentucky, at Barberville. Lived there for quite a while.
When did they go there? Do you know how old your father
must
was?
Must have been about 1880. And my father came from Barberville into Harlan County in 1884 to help build the courthouse.
He was a carpenter too at that time.
He was a carpenter and with his father. And he was here about 5 years and married my mother in Harlan County.
Did your grandfather move back to Knox County?
He went into Virginia.
Went back to Virginia.
That's right. With his other sons.
All right. Is that where he died?
That's where he died, over in Virginia.
Where in Virginia?
I think he died at the home of Norman Gregory, my uncle.
What county?
Lee County.
When and how, if you know, did your father and mother meet?
I can't tell you that. Don't know.
Remember when they were married?
1889.
Where did they live in Harlan?
I believe they set up residence on Central Street in Harlan.
Approximately where in relation to where I was raised and where you're living now?
I live on Central Street, number 409, East Central. And I own a corner lot that's vacant next to my residence. And there was a little cottage at one time on that lot. And that's where George Gregory and Bob Gregory, my two older brothers, were born. And right straight across the street from my present residence, in another little cottage, is where Lila, my sister and I, were born. And in about 1900, my father and mother moved from Central Street down on Clover Street, bought a lot from my grandfather right next to his residence on Clover Street, and built them a home. And that's where my youngest sister was born, and she died when she was 4 years old.
What was her name?
Bernice.
Now, where you were living on Clover Street was near the Presbyterian Church. Isn't that correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Where in relation to it?
Oh, I say 50 yards west on the same side of the street.
You mentioned the Denton family, but I don't believe you said much about them. Tell me more about the Denton family.
I really am not qualified to tell you much about the Dentons, except what I have been told, and that's brief. I understand the Dentons came from England into the United States about 1626, right in that period. I understand, I was told by the Denton family, some of the old timers over in Washington County, Virginia, where their homestead is, that the first Denton was a Methodist preacher that came over these states. And they settled down in Washington County, Virginia, and there's quite a settlement there. There's a valley there that's called Denton Valley in Washington County, right near Abingdon.
What occupation did your father continue to follow after coming to Harlem?
He became a merchant a little while after he'd settled in Harlem. And was a merchant in Harlem from 1890 until his death, 1948.
What type of merchant?
He was in the hardware and furniture business in the earlier years and undertaking business.
What was the cause of his changing from that occupation?
On June the 1st, 1913, there's parts of about three blocks of the city of Harlem that burned down, and my father's hardware and furniture store was one of the buildings. And in 1915, to establish into some other kind of business that wasn't too competitive, and looked like there's no one much doing any business in that line of merchandise, was the music business. And he ventured into that, into a field that no one knew a thing about there in that part of the state of Kentucky.
Where was the first store, music store he had in Harlem?
The first music store was established in 1915 on the corner of Clover and Main. He built a frame building, leased the lot from the owner of the property, built a building on it, and he was in it less than a year until it burned down. Then he reestablished in a building there right near the corner of Central and Main, in what is known as the Howard Drugstore Building. And as the business grew and began to expand, moved into a larger quarters near the Old Kelly Hotel, right where we are located right today in the music business.
And that was when?
About 1918 we moved from down near the Howard Drug Building up into this present location.
I believe when you first started talking about the Gregory family, you mentioned that my great-great-grandfather was a violinist. Did that have any particular significance?
I don't believe that had any bang at all on the music business, but my father had always told me that his father was a very good violinist. He wasn't one of these old fiddlers that we hear so much about, jiggers, sawing on the violin, but he played music, read music, and played it correctly, and he handled his bow like an artist and did play artistic music.
Now, I've heard you speak of one of the Gregories that left his family at the age of 14. Who was that, and how did that happen?
That was my grandfather, Robert Wilson Gregory, that left the state of New York and came down to Virginia. And I understand that he was with a circus at one time. He was a musician with that traveling circus. I don't know how he ever got into Virginia. He was a kind of a rambler. He was unsettled. And when he got into Virginia, he married into the Denton family. My father has told me that he left the farm of his father's when he was 14 years old. He was on a big load of hay being hauled to the barn, and he slid off the back of the load of hay and left the field and had never heard of him since. Never did write, never did hear from his family at all thereafter. I'll tell you a little humorous joke. It's not a joke, but it's a little humorous. My father used to tell, you know, my father was a very strong Republican, and so was his father. In fact, his father, my grandfather, was in the Civil War. I don't believe he was a soldier. I don't think he was in any battles, but he was around at that time. My father always laughed and said the best damn thing that he ever knew his father to do was when he blew up the damn powder mill that his father-in-law was making for the rebel army.
Most everyone has heard of the
Harvard interview.
Violent manner in which Harlan County developed, and I think one of the most interesting parts of it that I've heard is directly related to our friend, and that is the Harrod and Turner feud. Tell me what you know about that, beginning, starting with how the feud began.
Well, there's a lot of stories about that as to how it began. I couldn't tell you how it began, but I know there's five brothers. All my uncles died with their boots on from the feud. And it are Robert Turner, William Turner, George B. Turner Jr., John Turner, and Boney Turner, and Green Turner. Six brothers.
Were these all involved in the feud?
All but one. Green Turner was only 12 years old when he died with natural death.
How old was your mother when this was going on?
Well, she was a girl, unmarried, during all of this time except one or two. This continued for around 10 or 12 years, this feud did.
Do you remember when it started?
Don't know the year, but Robert Turner was the first one killed by Wicks Howard there in Harlan. He was sitting down, and evidently he had indicted one of the Howard family for bootlegging. Liquor was involved somehow. And they say that Wicks Howard was encouraged and persuaded and maybe bribed, I don't know, to go and kill Bob Turner. I believe he was going to appear as a witness against some of them. He walked up to him and had a shotgun in his hand. And Bob was sitting in the chair there in the hotel lobby, I understand. The old hotel there, I don't know what the name of it was. And he says, "Why, Wicks, you wouldn't shoot me, would you?" And he just put the gun on him and pulled the trigger. That was the first one that was killed.
Was Robert armed at this time himself?
Either he or his father was. His father was by, and I understand that his father undertook to shoot Wicks Howardy as he ran, and Bob grabbed the gun from his father and tried to shoot at him, fired at him, but missed him as he ran. Evidently, he was not armed himself.
Did he die at that time?
I understand.
Instantly, I mean?
I believe he did.
All right. And then, how did that develop, or what developed from that shooting?
Well, evidently, the brothers took it up, because that was the beginning of the feud.
How did the next one die?
The next one was killed on the street, talking to someone, and his back to the courthouse windows, the second floor window. Someone fired from that window and killed him on the street below.
Did they know who did that?
Well, it was always believed to be either the brother of Wicks Howard, James L. Howard, or
Bill Jennings. Another one of that side of the feud. Bill Jennings. They were known to be up at the courthouse together at that time.
What happened to Wicks for shooting Robert?
I don't know what the record of the court.
Well, he was tried.
I believe he was. Now, I don't know where he was convicted, but some of those fellows did have to serve. They were convicted for their crime. Bill Jennings served a term in the penitentiary. And James L. Howard, that's the brother of Wicks, served in the penitentiary. Now, I don't know whether Wicks did or not. The record would have to show, and I'm not informed.
Now, the second one you just mentioned that was killed on the street was named what?
William.
All right. Now, who was killed after William? How?
Next one was George B. Turner, Jr. He and Wicks, not Wicks, but Wilkes Howard, W-I-L-S. Owen, I guess, and Wilkes for short, I figured. I don't know what his name was, but they call him Wilkes Howard. He was not a brother of Wicks, but he was a distant relative. And he and Bill Jennings were closely related. They were on the Howard side in the feud. He and George B. Turner had several run-ins. Wherever George would be, he would try to sneak up and kill George Turner. One day, George Turner was in a store there. One day, George Turner was in a store there. From back toward the rear, and Wilkes came up unannounced and sneaked in and took a shot at him and hit an oil can right close by, a cool oil, I believe, kerosene. Barrel, I believe, or something, and fired into it, and coal oil or kerosene got into George B. Turner's eyes so he couldn't hardly see how to shoot, but he didn't fire at him, but he missed him. And from that time on, they were kind of gunning for each other, I think. And George Turner was on his way up Martin's Fork.
I had to turn the record, and you were saying that George B. Turner was on his way up Martin's Fork, and what happened?
Well, he had friends living on Martin's Fork, the Middleton family, and he spent some time up there with them, and he was on his way up there, I understand. And he stopped at a spring on Captain's Creek, what we call Captain's Creek, the old Sulphur Spring, to get him a drink, and he was down on his knees drinking out of the spring when Wilkes Howard slipped up on him and shot him. And they had quite a battle there. That George had his Winchester against the cliff there at the spring. And he reached for his gun. Wilkes was barricaded behind a tree and a rail fence on the other side of the creek. And they fought it out to exchange shots quite a little while there, I understand. Wilkes finally got the shot that killed George Turner.
Was Wilkes wounded?
Wilkes was wounded, yeah. He was wounded in the arm, broke his arm, I believe.
All right, what happened to Wilkes for that? Was he ever tried?
Well, he was scouting around all the time and dodging the law and they raiding the town. And,
in other words, from that statement, the Turners lived in town, of course, you described this before, and the Howards lived out in the county and did not live in town.
That's right.
That's right. All right, go ahead, was this what finally made the feud develop, or was it actually a feud before that time? I'm asking.
I don't think there's any feud at all before Bob Turner was killed. That was the starting of it, I think.
But if here the people who shot him, the man who shot him, was tried or punished in some way, why was William next shot? In other words, usually it's for vengeance.
All right. After George Turner was, Robert Turner was killed,
Will Turner, went right down to Wicks Howard's home, went in the home, and was shooting at Wicks to kill him. And he was overpowered or something happened. I don't know why, but he didn't get him. I think his mother stepped in between them or something and saved him from getting killed. And, of course, that really turned the Howards against the boys when he did that.
Well, Wicks's mother wasn't shot.
No, she wasn't shot. Nobody was shot, I understand.
But because of that attempt by Will, then
vengeance.
They began to try to get vengeance themselves.
I think so.
All right, now, who was killed after George and why?
That was William Turner that I was telling about being killed from the courthouse window.
No, that was after Robert. We got down to George.
Oh,
who was after George?
John Turner.
How was he killed?
Now, he was killed. I don't believe John was killed in the feud, but he was later killed about 1894. That was about 10 years after Robert Turner was killed. He was killed by either Bill Nolan or Ben Nolan from ambush. And he was in the street, and they shot him from behind a door or through a window in the old hotel building there on Central Street.
Why? Do they know?
Yes. Bill Nolan had just a few minutes before killed his uncle, William Turner. That is a half-brother to George B. Turner, his father. And quite a circumstance happened there, I understand. I've been told that John Turner was out in town, and he heard that shooting out toward his home. He was on his way out, and he met Bill Nolan coming. He asked Bill what happened. He said, oh, somebody just shot a dog out there, and asked him if he had any cartridges in his pocket. A certain caliber, and he had a few, and he let him have some. Went on out and found out his uncle was killed, and he'd just killed him, and he came back looking for him. And he was killed.
I want to try to clear up one thing here. We spoke of one William Turner who was killed on the street from the from the courthouse. And then just now you mentioned another William Turner that John Turner heard being shot. Now, there's two William Turners there.
The first William Turner was a brother to John,
right.
Older brother. This last William Turner I just mentioned was an uncle, a half-uncle, really, a half-brother to these boys' father. So that's Uncle Will Turner was killed out there on the street. When he discovered it, he came back down the street looking for Bill Nolan. And that's when they killed him from the hotel.
Why did Bill Nolan kill his uncle, do you know?
Wouldn't know. Might be just because they were drinking. I don't know.
Is that all of them that were killed, or is there another
one? Well, Boney Turner was the only married one in that whole group of boys. He had a family in Virginia, Lee County, Virginia, at Dryden. He married Miss Steely, I believe, and he had three daughters and one son. He named his son George B. Turner, the third. And he died from either a train running over him, or he was either killed by someone and put on a railroad track. No one ever knew, but they seemed to think maybe that they were after him anyway. And they might have killed him from ambush and put him on the railroad track to cover up the crime. No one ever knew.
I have also heard you speak of the extended shootings they have in Harlan, where the Turners and the townspeople would be in the courthouse, and the Howards would be on the hillside called Ivy Hill. Tell me about that.
Well, I've been told that that was a climax. When they, a bunch of outlaws were traveling through the county and causing all kinds of crime and trouble, they came up from Baxter, from the other side of the Ivy Hill, and down the hill and barricaded themselves behind the trees and were firing on my grandfather's residence. And they fought a battle there for quite a while, and that was broken up. Enough people got behind it and drove them back. Then they got word that they were coming in again. They were pretty well armed, and quite a few of them. And a lot of the citizens barricaded themselves in the courthouse. And they had quite a battle then from the hillside, the old Ivy Hill, you know where it is, and the courthouse. And they finally drove them out at that period. And then later on, they heard that they were at Baxter and going to have another raid into town. We're going to make another raid. And I understand our Presbyterian preacher there, Reverend Barnes, I believe his name was, assembled a posse and they heard they were housed at Baxter. And at daybreak, they had assembled themselves at the point of the Ivy Hill overlooking this home at Baxter where they were barricaded or living. And at daybreak, when it was light enough to fire, they fired into them and broke up the organization. From then on, it was over. Quite a few people killed at that time.
Have you yourself seen the lead from the bullets there near the courthouse?
I guess you are referring to what I had told you once before. I was over on the other side of the river from the courthouse, and from my grandfather's residence. When I was just a boy, I used to play up and down the river quite a bit, and fish and hunt frogs and anything for you know what a boy will do. But one day I was going up that other side of the river on the bank, and that clay where the clay and the had washed away and left the gravel and the lead, I noticed some lead balls. I guess they were 1¼ inches long, and they were big, great big slugs of lead. They were called 45x70s. I picked up about a pocketful of those things, and I'm sure they came from the Ivy Hill over toward the Turner residence and toward the courthouse during those battles.
In other words, the line of fire from Ivy Hill would have
just
been
about there.
Why were they at the time when you spoke of them firing at Granddad Turner's house, why were they shooting at his house? Was this just a unpremeditated raid, or was there some motive there between them?
Well, that's where the boys were, you know, and their friends.
This, then the outlaws you spoke of that were on the hillside with the Howards.
That's right. And the Turners had friends, and they were there at the Turner residence all the time, I understand. Quite a bit of time. And there was a man by the name of Bailey was ambushed on the back porch. They used to, back in the old times, you know, go on the back porch and have a towel, a wash pan, or a wash bowl, and water out there on the back porch. That's where they wash for breakfast. All right, one of the Turners was, or one of the Howards, rather, had concealed himself back behind the home there at the riverbank. And when this fellow came out to wash his face and hands for breakfast, they killed him. They thought he was one of the Turner boys. His name was Bailey. They did the same thing again up on Silver Fork up there around where now you would say Furta or Kildare. They were at one of the Middletons' homes up there, a friend, a Bailey boy was. They thought it was one of the Turner boys, and they killed him, thinking he was one of the Turner boys.
How long after the feud ended was it that these families then began to intermarry again, the Howards and the Turners?
Well, I don't know that they ever intermarried. Of course, there's some Howards, but they're not the same Howards. Mose Howard was married, I guess, when this started, because he has had children before even Bob Turner, I guess, was killed. He had married into the Turner family. Nancy, the oldest child.
Well, then, all the Howards were not involved in the feud then, is that right?
Oh, no, there's many Howard families in our county that's very
distant related, or if related at all.
Well, I know of individuals who are named Turner Howard and Howard Turner and...
That's right.
So forth, and I thought maybe, I thought you told me one time that they were intermarried, or the families were actually intermarried at the time this was going on.
No, I don't think that any of the Howards that was concerned in this feud at all ever married into the Turner family. Now, there's about four girls, I believe there's four girls. Two of them married Howards, but those Howards were not involved in the feud in any way.
Dad, I also want to get this information. You said that there's a lady in Harlan who has a great deal of information about this. Who is that? About the history of Harlan and probably some of this, too.
Miss Sudie Smith, I guess, has more information on that than anybody in Harlan. She's made it a practice to make research of the family history and the pedigree and all of that. She's got a lot of... I've talked to her about writing a book on it, and she says that she intended to, and I believe she's been writing on it recently. She's up in years now.
Where were the Turner boys buried?
They were buried in a lot just close to the residence of the George B. Turner home.
Are their
father and mother.
Are their graves still in existence?
Their graves have been moved in recent years. The reason they were buried out there, right close to the residence, I understand the mother was so grieved, she wanted them close to her, and she used to spend a lot of her time out there in the cemetery with them.
Where were they moved to?
They were moved down to Rest Haven Cemetery, there in the, near the dome where the Murph Howard's family is buried. They were buried in that circle up there, Murph's uncles, you know. And father, and grandfather, and grandmother. And Murph owns the Rest Haven Cemetery.
How old was your mother when she died?
37.
And then Granddad Walter Gregory remarried. Who did he remarry?
He married a sergeant. Susie Sergeant. No children.
What was the cause of your mother's death?
I've heard it was tuberculosis.
You were the only child of the family who remained in Harlan as your, and kept Harlan as your residence. Who was the first one to leave, and when did he leave?
My oldest brother, George. He left home when he was 17 years old, 1907. And he was gone about a year for his health. The doctors advised him that he couldn't live in Harlan. He'd better seek another climate. Because of his condition, they thought he had tuberculosis. And he came back in 1908, the year our mother died. Immediately after she passed away, he left again and never made Harlan his residence thereafter.
Where did he settle?
He first year he spent away from home was in Oklahoma. And when he came back, he went into Colorado. I believe Colorado Springs and Buffalo Springs and Denver. Spent a lot of his time in Denver.
What was his business during those times?
Well, he when he went to Oklahoma the first trip, he was on a ranch. He hadn't started doing anything much, only 17 years old, anything to get to do something. When he came back and went to Colorado, he began as a clerk in a drugstore at the Fountain and also delivering prescriptions and pills and so forth on a bicycle. And in the meantime, he took a course
studied pharmacy and took the examination, state examination, and passed to become a pharmacist. And he worked for the Schultz drugstore there for quite a while. And while he was working for the Schultz Drug Company, he also studied a correspondence course with the Alexander Hamilton Institute, which gave him equivalent to a college education. And he got a national write-up for the record he made in that course. He organized a drug company, which was the Mutual Drug Company, had a wholesale and retail outlet of several stores, and finally developed to the point where he finally purchased and consolidated the Schultz Mutual Drug Company by buying Schultz Drug, combined it with a mutual, and he called it Schultz Mutual Drug Company.
How long did he remain with that business?
Well, he was in that business for about, I guess, 7 or 8 years. Then he went into the real estate business.
Why did he get out of the drug business?
Wasn't successful. He had reverses.
And he'd been in the real estate business in California primarily since that time.
Well, he spread out in the drug business into California first, you know. He went into out of Denver into San Francisco and into Los Angeles. He was in two states doing the drug in the drug business. And during the time, there was some quite a depression in the country, and he became too far involved and too much involved, I should say, and spread out too much, and the business went out of business.
Well,
failed.
Although that business failed and he went bankrupt or near that state, did he not then turn right around and go back into it and again make a success?
He didn't go back into the drug business, but went into the, I would say, the finance business, financing, and selling mortgages and first and second mortgages business. Pleady called it the California Reserve Company.
When did Uncle Bob leave Hart?
Bob graduated in engineering at the University of Kentucky in 1914. And from then on, he made his residence somewhere else other than Harlan.
Where does he live?
He was first with the Interstate Commerce Commission, and he did quite a bit of traveling for the government. And finally, he went into Colorado. He worked there as an engineer for quite a long time. Then he made his home in Denver, and he married in Denver. He married a Colorado girl. And in 1924, he went to Los Angeles, California, and took a position with the Los Angeles County Engineering Department. And he was quite successful in that career. He was chief deputy engineer at the time he retired of Los Angeles County, which is quite a responsibility.
Did Aunt Lila follow them to California, or?
Well, Lila married and first lived in Pennsylvania. She met her husband, Charles Smith, in Denver, Colorado, and they moved to near Oil City, Greenville, I believe, Pennsylvania, and lived there for quite a while, and then they moved back to Harlan, stayed in Harlan for a few years, and left for Denver, Colorado, and then from there they went to California, and they've been there since in the 20s. None of them have lived in Harlan at all, except myself.
Dad, I'd like for you now to tell me when and how you and Mother met. And if you want to, we'll have Mother come over here and join in.
Mother, you tell him how we met. Well, she was a teacher there in Harlem. I think she got her a job of teaching in the city schools. And she had been in Harlem about 3 years, and I'd met her during that time. We went together about 3 years and married in 1922.
You married in 22?
Mm-hmm.
And then you met in about 1919.
That's right, about 1919.
And you were helping your father in the music business?
I was in the music business with my father, yeah.
And where was she living when you met her?
Well, there's a teacher's club there, they called it, where all the teachers, the ladies that taught, a lot of them lived in this building. It was called the teacher's club.
Well, did you go there to visit her specifically, or why did you happen to go there when you met her?
Well, I was invited there by one of the girl's friends, another boy there in Harlem that knew me. He wanted me to go with him and meet a nice young lady up there at the teacher's club. I was very glad to go, so that's how I met this young lady.
In other words, Mother was there, and that's you went there specifically to meet her.
That's right.
At the suggestion of another friend of yours.
That's right.
Where did you and Mother first live after you married?
Well, after we became engaged, she was living in Cincinnati at the time we married, and when we became engaged, I bought a little home across in the Smith Edition there in Harlem. Wasn't very far from the Teacher's Club across the river there. Nice little division of Harlem. Two-bedroom house, living room, dining room, and kitchen. We bought our furniture and furnished it before we met.
Where did you live after you moved from there?
1925, we sold that place. And I bought a lot over there on Central Street, where we presently live. We built in 1925.